At this time, we bring forward to our witness stand a woman caught in adultery. From thenceforth, we'll refer to her as Madam. Please come forward. Here's the allegation against Christ that we will be considering tonight. He has taken upon himself the authority to judge people and forgive sins, a privilege, mind you, that is reserved only for God and God alone. Even this court, the gathering of people here today, can only judge the merits of the case, neither vote to condemn or acquit. A minister may speak in the name of God, or you as individuals may forgive those who have wronged you, but God alone can pronounce the final judgment. Recognizing that this and what this woman did is in the past, and that she was not formally convicted of any crime. In fact, she is not even on trial here. We will allow her to keep her anonymity and just call her woman or madam. Now, madam, as we understand your story, you were caught in the very act of adultery and dragged before Jesus for judgment. Is that correct?
I was accused, and there were witnesses who claimed they'd seen me. And yes, they dragged me before the man whom they called Rabbi. I only learned later who he was. It was very strange, and of course, very frightening.
Oh, okay, we can understand frightening. You were about to lose your life, after all. But what do you mean by strange?
Well, normally, a woman so accused would be taken in front of the Sanhedrin for judgment. There, if two witnesses claimed to have seen you in the act, you were condemned to death. Occasionally, it was a trumped-up charge, and the woman had no power to defend herself. We women were, after all, little more than possessions. First, we were the property of our fathers, and then the property of whomever our fathers picked for us to marry. Often, we were simply part of a business deal. Rarely were our feelings considered, nor were we given a say in who we could marry. Once married, we were totally at the mercy of our husbands. Even if horribly abused, we really could not seek protection, leave, or divorce.
Yes, we understand. Similarly, inequality continued to exist until recent times, and still does in some countries. But you're going to explain why being taken to Jesus was strange.
Yes, well, as I said, I thought I was being taken before the court of religious leaders, the Sanhedrin. But instead of taking me inside, they stopped in the courtyard. They stood me before a rabbi, just one single rabbi. That was the part that was very strange. He was surrounded by a crowd of people who had been listening to him. He must have been a popular teacher to have attracted such a crowd. At first, I thought the teachers of law and the Pharisees had just found another way to humiliate me. They were so self-righteous, so zealous in imposing the law on everyone. Was this just an opportunity for them? Dragging an accused person before the common people? Showing what could happen if they erred? I'd seen it before. Often condemned, often bystanders would join in. It's part of human nature, I guess, to enjoy seeing someone else condemned and punished. I guess it makes us feel better about ourselves. After all, we'd never do such a terrible thing. But the Pharisees did not seem interested in the crowd this time. They were completely focused on this rabbi It was as though I had become a test case, almost incidental to the issue. They wanted to put him on trial.
Well, I'm sure if he was a great teacher, and as great of a teacher as you say, I guess they simply just wanted to verify their legal position before proceeding.
No, no. You don't understand. That wasn't their attitude at all. There was a wickedness about them. They were trying to trip this teacher up. Besides, the Pharisees didn't need to consult some poor itinerant teacher. They knew the law, every last subtle detail of it, and it was obvious, too. They even stated what punishment was prescribed. The case was already settled in their minds. No, they were only interested in whether this rabbi would contradict Moses or the prophet who had written out God's commands.
And what did Jesus answer? Did he agree with the Pharisees, or did he find some other obscure argument to defend him?
Well, that was strange, too. He didn't answer right away. He bent down and started writing with his finger in the sand. I thought at first he was just buying time. But when they kept at him about it, he astounded us all. He looked at them right in their faces and said, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he bent down and started writing in the dirt again. At first, I was shaking in terror. Knowing how righteous those Pharisees are, I was sure their stones were going to begin flying at me. But they didn't. One by one, those men bowed their heads and walked away. First the older ones, and then the younger. The younger ones, I suppose, were more adamant about the law, or naive. But without the older men for support, they gave up. Then the strangest thing of all occurred. The rabbi straightened up and looked straight at me. I'd been looking down. I was so ashamed. I kept looking at the ground, wishing it would swallow me up, and thinking that soon after they stoned me, it would. But as I stood there in the silence, I could feel his eyes on me. Slowly, I looked up. He was looking right at me. He was looking into me with a look of love. I had felt dirty inside and out, but somehow that look made me feel like I'd been made clean. He asked what had happened to the accusers. Hadn't anyone stayed to condemn me? I could hardly speak. All I could say was, "No one, sir." At that, he said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." You know, I can't say why, but I got the feeling that based on what he said to the Pharisees, Jesus was the only one who could have condemned me, but he didn't. I can tell you, my life was changed since that day, not just because I came close to death. What Jesus did that day has made me a totally new person.
Just one question, ma'am. People throughout the ages have wondered what Jesus actually wrote in the dirt that day. You add nothing to the evidence necessarily that we need, so possibly you can at least solve this mystery for us.
I'm truly sorry. I would if I could. My eyes were so blurred with my tears of shame that I could see nothing of what he was writing. There was this, though. What was happening was almost like the finger of God wrote on the wall of King Belshazzar's room in the book of Daniel. Belshazzar thought he was better than God. God sent that hand to write words of condemnation. Since I was the adulteress being convicted, some have even supposed that Jesus wrote a question. Maybe he wrote, "Where is the man?" Since the man I cheated with wasn't there, then I was. And we all knew that some of the chief priests were known to hang around the brothels from time to time. Whatever Jesus did or said, I most certainly had an effect on those who felt they had a right to condemn me. Yet the one who did have the right chose not to. That's what really mattered.
Is your right? You are dismissed, madam. The writing surely is written on the wall.